Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz family of companies. With an endless supply of energy, he deploys his experience and passion to unleash the potential in others and share the stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
All right. Good morning, sports fans, and good morning to all you risk takers, deal makers, game changers. Yes, good morning to the entrepreneurial community of Sacramento. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, also known as the Haney Biz Show. I am joined today by Mito Eldon. My boy Marcus has a bellyache. He's throwing up all night. But Mito has jumped in to pinch hit for Marcus. How you doing, Mito?
I'm doing great. Hoping to help win the show today.
Okay, let's see how we do this now. For those of you that don't know Mito, he is kind of my new right-hand man in digital strategy and marketing. He's an expert in the area of how to do websites, how to do social media type of stuff. I mean, tell us about a little bit of your background.
Yeah, Mark. So as you know, I was working on my team Sphere, the sports management communication app. We're still working on that, and just wanted to come on and help you with the show and help build Haney Biz.
You think we got some potential with Haney Biz and what's going on?
I think Haney Biz is going to be huge. I think it's going to be transformational. I think it's going to help put Sacramento on the map. And yeah. I'm really excited.
Well, I think we can help a lot of people here in Sacramento. We hope to educate and inspire and make building a business something that's fun to do, right? Because building a business, it can be a little scary at times, but it's fun. And you know what? When you're chasing your dreams, that's good for our community. That's good for society. Now, 9 out of 10 small business startups fail. 90%, maybe it's more, fail within the first 5 years, Mito. It's crazy how many entrepreneurs really just don't make it.
Yeah, starting a business is really tough. You know, you got to deal with competition. You got to find out how you're going to raise money. There's a lot of things you got to do right. And, you know, you definitely want to be that 1 out of 10 that gets it right, because if you do, then world is your oyster.
No doubt. Now, I did a little research. I got on the internet and I went to tech.co, and these guys had the top 6 reasons why small businesses fail and when they start up. And so we're going to go through the list. Now, what's number 6, Mito?
Well, number 6 is ignoring prospective customers.
Oh, I hate it when that happens. Yeah. So when you don't pay attention to your customers, I mean, so often don't we, what happens in that situation? You end up no sales?
Well, you know, sales, if you ignore your customers, they're going to ignore you.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. I mean, we come up with a business plan, and if you aren't out there actually talking to your customers, you may be spending all your time working on your business plan when really that plan is flawed, and maybe you need to adjust a little bit. And the way to find that out is by communicating with your customers. Otherwise, you're not going to make a whole heck of a lot of sales. Okay. So what's number 5?
Competition.
Oh,
competition.
Yeah. I've always thought that I'm my own biggest competition. I'm the first guy to get in my own way. And so I never really focused that much on the competition. I mean, how about you?
Yeah, I think competition is, if you don't focus on the competition, you might try and do something that someone else has done.
Okay.
And then, you know,
so have an awareness of the competition.
Yeah.
But the things that have got me into trouble, it feels like, is I come up with some good ideas, and we may have to adjust them a little bit, but then we don't execute, and we don't find a way to get the job done. It's really not our competition's fault if we didn't get our job done.
Yeah, it's definitely always on the entrepreneur to get the job done right.
Yeah, okay, so what's the next one? Number 4.
Connections.
Oh.
Who you know.
Who you know. And if you're hanging around Mark Haney, you are going to know a lot of people.
Right.
No, that is so important. Some of the biggest, most transformational opportunities in my life have been from integrating into my community, whether it be at trade associations or just with other people in the business. It might be suppliers. You have to get outside your own four walls, and you got to know some people. What's number 3?
Number 3, money.
Oh, money, yes. Gotta be funded, huh?
You gotta be funded. Got to have money.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, what I've always went by the term, you know, having money, having the right funding, that's like oxygen for our business. You know, you don't really think about it sometimes, but then when you run out, it's not a comfortable sign. So you do not want to run out of money. And one of the ways that helps you from not running out of money is making a profit, right? Because that profit can be reinvested and used to build the business. Am I right?
That's right. If you have profit, everything else fixes itself.
Okay, so what's number two? What's and we'll save the last one for the end of the show. What's number two?
Number two is ideas and innovation.
Oh, what do you think about that? You're an innovator.
Yeah. I think having the right ideas, having the right innovation is critical. I think it comes from understanding what your market is doing and, you know, getting prepared and, you know, really trying to figure out what's going on and spending time, you know, talking to people and being creative.
Yeah. I mean, I think in today's society, innovation is the speed of innovation is so huge, right? It's, you look at something as simple as the telephone, right? Now the telephone is like your TV set. And, you know, your TV is, it's kind of like being the radio, right? It's things have changed so much. It changed so fast. It's even changing right here. AM radio is not what it once was when I was a kid. And things are changing faster than ever.
Right. And even if you have great ideas, you also have to make them happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's not enough just to have an idea. You got to get out there and put it to work.
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity. It's the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone, and I just want to take a minute to personally thank Apple Corporation for helping me to ignore my family for the last past few years. It's been a treat. Stick around, because later in the show, at the end of the show, we're going to share the number one reason for why startups tend to fail, and I'll have some closing thoughts about failing in general, but you got to stick around too, because we're about to meet two innovators that are helping disrupt the way our children learn. They are improving education to better prepare our young people for the real world jobs of tomorrow. Later in the show, you will get to know Michael Bodine. He is of AT&T, and Michael is driving the Aspire Accelerator Initiative at AT&T. This huge company is committed to driving entrepreneurship and innovation through education. But after the break, get ready to meet the Robo Man, Graham Ryland. Graham is the founder and CEO of Barobo. Barobo delivers robots to the classroom to enhance learning experiences and teach our children to write code. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
And now, back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with the Entrepreneurs Advocate, Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Graham Ryland, founder and CEO of Barobo. How you doing, Graham?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, I'm going to warn you. This is your second warning. You have to speak into this mic. Okay. Get that mic. You're a tall guy. Pull that mic up. There you go. Let's get that. Yeah, there you go. It's kind of getting limpy on you there. Okay. There we go. Now, speak into that mic. All right. Graham, you're a technical guy. We've been talking about that during the break. You've got this cool product, Barobo. It's turned into this really significant business. Tell us about your business.
Well, Barobo gets kids coding in the classroom. If you really want to change the world, you give teachers the tools they need to bring that change into the classroom.
Okay, so you're changing the world in the classroom, and I agree. We got to have our young people inspired and advancing. What does Barobo do in the classroom?
So Barobo makes hardware, software, and curriculum that allows any teacher, regardless of their background and experience, to teach industry-standard programming languages like Python and C++.
Okay, so I thought you guys were a robot company. It sounds like software stuff.
Well, the goal is software. The way there is robotics.
Okay.
Robots is what's inspired me to become an engineer, and it's the carrot that gets kids engaged and interested to learn more.
Okay, so how does that work? You got this robot, right? And you brought one of them in here. We have it on Facebook Live, but it's this little blue and purple contraption. Looks like it's got wheels. I guess it moves. How do they work, and then how does that teach coding?
Yeah, so the LinkBot is a modular robot. They assemble together in different configurations.
So this is a LinkBot. That's what you call the robot, a LinkBot.
Yep, that's
it. Okay.
They don't just connect together mechanically, but they connect together wirelessly.
Okay.
And so they pair, and you're able to use one to control another.
Oh,
wow. Actually driving it around.
He's actually, folks, he's got one little control that's moving around another little roll-around type robot type thing. What can you make it do, Graham?
So there's a big gap between playing around with remote control cars
yes.
and toys
okay.
and programming. So we've developed a system called pose coding, where you physically move the robot through motions and pushing record and buttons on the outside of the robot. When you push play, it plays those motions back to create a behavior.
Okay.
And then our software converts those poses into industry standard programming languages that the teachers and the students can use to learn how to program.
Okay, so now when I think of robots, I think of, you're too young, you're like 34, but there was a TV show, Lost in Space, and it had this little robot that moved around.
Major
and,
Will Robinson.
Yeah, there you go. All right, you know that. That's not quite what this is. I mean, how close to having something like that, or is that type of product, is that available somewhere?
Well, there's some pretty amazing robots out there, but I think really, I mean, the world is changing dramatically. Right. And automation is coming into every aspect of our lives, whether it's cars, whether it's at home. And I really think having some kind of literacy in programming is going to become more and more important over the coming years.
OK, so you have these robots and the kids learn how to program the robots to do these little tricks. And you talked about different languages they learn for coding. What were those again?
So we start off with pose coding, where you physically move the robot. Then we move to Blockly, which is very visual. They're like little blocks that snap together to create a program. And then from there, we go to Python and then C++. Python is the fastest growing programming language. And C++ is the largest programming language, the most jobs currently out there.
Yeah, I've heard of C++. You know, we've had to hire programmers for different things that I've worked on. And C++, you know, that was one of the credentials you needed. Now, you're taking grade school kids and teaching them C++.
Yeah, our focus is grade four through eight. So that middle school period, like, that's when kids really make a lot of big decisions about their life and whether they feel that they're going to be good at math or that they can pursue a technical career. That decision, especially for girls, is made in middle school. So that's where we're focusing.
You're focusing on the middle school, and is it geared more to the children that are math-oriented? They have this natural inclination for math? Because a guy like me is going to be probably out chasing people on the playground and stuff like that. So
these robots are designed for you, Mark.
I'm good at math, believe it or not, but I'd rather go out and play kickball and, you know, mess around in the, you know, behind the school.
Yeah, I don't think everybody necessarily has to be a computer programmer.
Okay.
That's not the case, but I think everybody deserves a shot at seeing the power of it and seeing what's possible. And so we're making it accessible to more wide range of students.
Okay, so that light bulb goes off at that younger age. It's like, I'm pretty good at math. You being good at math can be really fun. It's not so you get to sit up in the front of the class.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so what are you seeing? Give us an example of a success story. What are you seeing happening in the classroom?
So I've been doing this full-time for 5 years. And so I've had the chance to see students who were in, you know, upper middle school, high school, actually graduate. And so there's a young man named Dennis who was getting D's and F's, you know, very, very low grades, until he took a extracurricular a robotics class. And that, the light bulb went on.
Wow.
Just like you're saying. It snapped together. He realized, oh, that's why I'm learning these things. I can actually get a job with this. This is powerful. And so he dove deep into our curriculum, into our content, and is actually going to junior college and got a job programming for a local company while he's going to school to get a computer science degree.
Wow. And it was inspired by a LinkBot. That's incredible.
There's a huge demand for programming experience. There's over 500,000 jobs currently open for very basic, you know, networking and computer programming experience.
And some of that talent we're bringing in from offshore, when really we could home grow that talent right here.
Yeah, the federal government has allocated a ton of money in the last 2 years to bring programming into every K-12 school. And so here in California, programming will be a core subject in public high schools by 2019. That's alongside math and English. So this is a huge change that's coming. And we're providing the tools that empower teachers to actually make that change reality.
That's incredible. And I always thought that the, you know, we say that sharing these inspirational stories like this and hearing from real-world entrepreneurs like yourself, that's the second best way to learn. The number one best way to learn is to be hands-on, and that's what you're doing with your LinkBots is you're allowing these children to get hands-on instead of reading about it in a book.
Yeah, so my education is mechanical engineering. I'm just like you. I have to hold the thing that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I have to really dig into it and be hands-on. And that's how I learn. And I think that's how a lot of students learn too. And so being able to, you know, I mean, some people, you put Hello World on the computer screen and it just blows their mind and they're hooked for life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But not me.
Yeah.
I have to go do something real in the real world. And so these robots are the thing that bridge the gap from the computer program into the real world.
Bridging that gap, I love it. We're going to ask you to stick around. We're going to talk about how your company is growing, right? You guys are one of those companies that we've talked about startups failing and so many have, you know, you get going and you run into these challenges, but you've managed to overcome this. You guys have built a business that is profitable. You are in so many schools. We're going to talk about that. We're going to bring on Michael Bodine here in a few minutes. He's from AT&T. He's behind their entrepreneurial accelerator venture program called Aspire. We're going to talk to Michael for a little bit about in a minute, and then we're going to bring you back on, and we're going to go deeper into your company. I know you're trying to raise another round of funding. We're going to find out a little bit more about what it's like to really try to build a company and get that funding you need to really do something that changes the world. I'm Mark Haney. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we will be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz's Mark Haney.
All right, I am here. Haney Biz is back on the air. Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Michael Bodine of AT&T, the man behind AT&T's entrepreneurial accelerator program called Aspire. How you doing, Michael?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, Mark.
You bet. I appreciate you coming down. I know you had to go through some extensive effort to get yourself down here this morning. There's flooding around your place.
It was quite an adventure coming through Napa. A couple roads closed, but beautiful detours.
Okay. Well, let's find out. We'll get to know you a little bit over the next 5-10 minutes, and we're going to talk about first what's going on with Aspire. You're part of AT&T, this gigantic corporation, but you're running something called Aspire.
The Aspire Accelerator, it's been great. The Aspire program is, you know, AT&T's philanthropy arm. We focus on education technology, and the Accelerator really helps entrepreneurs who have great ideas on how to help our classrooms, help provide best-in-class products and services to help our children, and we help those entrepreneurs develop their business, give them mentorship, funding, and just really help make them a national, being able to help companies nationally.
Well, normally when I think of a venture capital firm or corporate VC, you know, guys that are investing, I don't think of philanthropy. You brought that up in the same paragraph as philanthropy. How do you differentiate between those two things? It's like, hey, I'm trying to help the community. AT&T is trying to help education. But you know what? We need to get a return on our investment too, right?
Absolutely. Great point. You know, entrepreneurs are fixing problems. Philanthropists are fixing problems. And, you know, there's different tax reasons they go for one way or the other, and or the strategic reasons to build their company. But at the end of the day, we're focused on impact. And just because you're a for-profit company doesn't mean you're not going to impact our students great.
Yeah, you've got to stay in business in order to make an impact. So you
Absolutely.
Don't want to invest in one that's going down the tubes. So now, why education? There's so many areas of philanthropy out there, right? It could be the veterans. There's a lot of good causes. Why are you guys focused on education?
You know, AT&T has been a historic, innovative company. We've focused on education for almost the company's existence. Education has been really key to helping our company grow, bringing innovative new ideas, physics research. We think of, you know, things even like the solar cell that AT&T Labs helped folk build back in the way long ago.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider AT&T a tech company?
I do. AT&T, you know, really, you know, as a company that's been around for over 100 years, we forget, you know, there's a lot of innovation that has to happen to keep it relevant.
Yeah. Now, you guys first started, it was what, Alexander Graham Bell?
Alexander Graham Bell, Colin Watson, playing with some wires.
It started as an entrepreneurial venture at one point, but now you guys are gigantic. You guys are acquiring Time Warner. You got DirecTV not that long ago. And then now you're acquiring these little tiny companies. What a vast level of things that you guys are into.
Absolutely. And one day I hope that listeners from your show will have a company the size of AT&T. Because you're right. It all starts with an entrepreneur, an idea, and it just grew from there.
Well, we're going to bring back on Graham Ryland in a little bit, and his company may be that one, and it's going to be focused on education. You invest now. Let's talk about your thesis on investment. We talked about why education, but is it early stage, late stage? How do you decide where you're going to deploy your money?
Yeah, in this program, we're focused on early stage. So, you know, how do we help that entrepreneur start to grow their company, access best-in-class mentors, both from inside AT&T and outside AT&T? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they start off, they're focused on themselves, or they have a small team, and they need support. Yeah, they need to understand there's people out there willing to help and able to help.
So when you guys come in, you put money in, and then how else do you support them?
Yeah, we have a full six-month curriculum. It's very tactical. If you think about strategy consultants, management consultants, our program is very tailored to the company. So it's not, you know, you're not sitting in classes. We're not asking people to relocate for 6 months. You know, we want to help them in the communities that they are in already, and we want to help them grow.
And what? Give us an example of like a typical investment. Is there anything typical where you throw in, I don't know, 100 grand or 500,000 or what? How do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. The cash investment's 100,000. We also give another 25,000 to help offset any program related expenses for that 6 months. So it's about 125,000 total, up to 5% equity in for that 100,000. So we start a minimum valuation of about 2 million. With that investment, you know, then we're going to also work with some of the best-in-class vendors. So if you think about the resources AT&T can pull, who are great UI UX design firms? Who are good PR firms?
Okay.
We're some great places for engineering help. So we really kind of dig into what's the problem the entrepreneur is dealing with? How do they grow a sales force? How do you build an internal call center?
Those are some of the things that were listed at the beginning of the show about why some small businesses fail is they don't get the, they don't get the right resources, the connections. You guys are already connected.
Exactly. And so, you know, that was part of the thesis to this accelerator is how do we leverage some of these best-in-class, you know, connections, networks that AT&T is already a part of to help these entrepreneurs succeed.
You talked about helping communities, and when you look at Sacramento, right, you're covering a broader area than Sacramento, but when you look at Sacramento, who do you see as the entrepreneurs that are setting the pace in our region?
You know, Sacramento, I think, is great. You know, it's got a growing area. You know, it's, I really like this McClellan Park area. We were touring it.
Right, the Larry Kelly project out of McClellan.
Yeah. And, the Valley Extends, I think, was a great thesis of mm-hmm. how, you know, Sacramento can help Silicon Valley and there can be a symbiotic relationship. I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs here that are, you know, risk takers. They're willing to roll up their sleeves, do some work, and I think this is a great place to start a business.
I met you through our mutual friend, Jack Crawford, who's Impact Venture Capital, and we've met a number of times, but I think Jack's making a huge impact on what's happening right here in Sacramento and helping create this mega region, if you will. Now, just thinking out loud, do you ever invest alongside a venture firm, or is it standalone?
We do. That's a great point. We actually really enjoy working with our other partners, other investors, because everybody brings something different to the table. So you're right. You know, Jack and their group, they understand Sacramento. They understand a lot of the local resources, and they're here tactically to help. And, you know, AT&T is a great partner with them, so we can help grow investments outside of the Sacramento area or sales for Sacramento companies outside the Sacramento area.
What inspires you personally, right? The corporation has the mission, but you're driven from a personal standpoint. Tell us about what's inspired you to go into this line of work.
Yeah, you know, I've always been really tied to entrepreneurship. I always talk about, you know, my dad about, you know, after 20 years at a corporate role had been laid off when I was in middle school. And for about a year, struggled looking for a job. And I think it was probably my mom kicking him a few times saying, look, I don't care if you're out cleaning buildings. you just need to bring home something. You got four kids.
Yeah.
And so after about a year looking for a role, he actually started knocking on doors at businesses and, you know, looking to see if he could help clean their business at night.
Do janitorial work.
You know, four kids, a mortgage, you know, what are you going to do?
I can clean a bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it turns out there were a lot of people that needed some help. So over about 4 years, he grew from, you know, him knocking on doors during the day, cleaning at night, then enlisting me as the number two employee, which is always the role of the
oh, yeah,
son,
bringing
right?
Bringing the right-hand man.
Exactly. You know, so I'd, you know, go help him a little bit at night. And then, you know, kind of grew the business that over 4 years grew to 100 people.
Over
a million square feet a night.
Wow.
Employing veterans, employing people that were dislocated from the Bosnia. They were Bosnian refugees. They've been relocated to the U.S. So, you know, creating these jobs, being able to help people, you know, through different transitions, you know, became a real cornerstone to our community.
What a great example to set for your son. You have the unfortunate happenstance of, you know, losing the job with the cutbacks, and then you decide to take it upon yourself to go clean other people's offices. You bring in your son and you build this nice business for the family. What would you say to your dad right now if he was here?
I would, you know, say, you know, I really appreciate the example, the work ethic, and, you know, him and my brother are still running the company.
Wow. Great story. Glad that you are following in the footsteps of helping build the type of businesses that your dad started, but you're focused more on the innovation and on that education piece. And when we come back, we're going to bring back Graham Ryland, and we're going to have him pitch Barobo to us. You get pitched all the time with stuff, and we're going to have Graham pitch us, come into the Mark Tank, if you will, and we're going to look at how he shares his story, see if he can convince us to invest some money. When we come back, we'll have Graham Ryland. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz investorpreneur Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my buddies, the solar experts at Sun Systems Technology. I'm Mark Haney, and I'm joined by two guys today. We're entering the Mark Tank, if you will. We got Michael Bodine, and we got Graham Ryland, and we're going to talk about Barobo. We've been talking about that. Michael's with AT&T, and he's kind of a venture capital type guy from AT&T. And Graham is actually building a business. He's built a business, and in order to scale it, Graham's going to need a little bit more funding. Is that right, Graham?
That is.
So Michael, you and I, here's the plan. You and I will go into a Shark Tank type situation, and we're going to be able to ask him whatever we want. Are there any questions that are off limits, Graham?
Nothing's off limits in the Mark the Shark Tank.
All right, I love it. And now you got to speak into these mics, which is kind of so they're very directional here. So, okay, so I'm going to need you to help me out because you're Michael. You know the normal questions that a venture capitalist or an investor, an angel investor, is going to ask. But let's give Graham a chance to pitch his product to us and blow us away with this pitch, and then we'll jump in and start grilling the heck out of him.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, the world's changing. It's changing very quickly. And right now, there's over 500,000 jobs currently in the U.S. that are unfulfilled, that are open for programming, some kind of programming skill. And we're falling way behind in graduation from colleges, universities, less than 10% the need that's currently out there today. And so in response to this, the federal government has allocated over $4 billion, that's billion with a B, to get coding into every K-12 classroom, every K-12 school, rather, across the U.S.
So the federal government is behind this this concept.
In a big way.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the state level here in California, programming will be a core subject, as I mentioned before, by 2019, alongside math and English. And so the only problem is, these teachers who are being expected to teach this vital 21st century skill do not have that skill.
Right, and there's a limited amount of curriculum that's user friendly for these teachers.
Exactly. So we empower the teacher in the classroom by providing hardware, software, and curriculum that allows them to teach industry standard programming languages with a turnkey solution.
So the wind is at your back. There's a big need. Some huge money will be behind, is behind this now, but it, more is coming if it's going to be one of these core subjects. How does your product fit in, and what makes it a good investment?
Well, we're in over 250 schools. We're receiving county and district-wide adoption, especially, you know, Solano, Yolo. These are school districts and counties in California. And we had $500,000 in revenue last year. We're growing.
Congratulations.
We're looking. Thank you. And we broke even last year. We have bootstrapped this whole thing. We're not. We haven't received funding up until this point. We've gotten money from the National Science Foundation, and we've developed something that works. It's being used in the classroom actively, weekly, and now we're looking to take what's working in California and take it to other states.
Tell us about your team.
So we have a crack team of engineers, scientists, and educators, and so there's about 12 of us. We're based in Davis, California. And we have an office in downtown on G Street.
Who's the sales guy? Who's in charge of selling this stuff? I want revenue growth. I'm one of those investors. Who's going to drive that growth?
Well, so I'm acting. So I'm actively selling this product. That's my number one goal in as CEO of the company. And we have two salespeople, Alex and Vivian, which are just fabulous. We just recently hired them. And we're trying to take it to the next level. And really, that's what we're raising money. We're raising $1 million for expansion. Our product is profitable. It's working. We have a product market fit proof. And now we're trying to jump over that gap, the big gap between, you know, early adopters and mass adoption. And we need a sales team and marketing thrust to make that possible.
What do you see in terms of revenue growth?
So I'm on track to doubling my revenue this year. Over last year. So we had $500,000 in revenue last year, and I'm on track to hit, I know it's January, but I mean, we've got quite a spike, and so we're on track to hit $1 million in revenue this year.
Great. Michael, feel free to jump in.
Absolutely. So as you're trying to double this revenue, you have any marketing plans? Are there any shows, any places you're specifically trying to target?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are primarily using value-added resellers who are trusted in the education market, and being able to really bridge the gap between, you know, robotics and 3D printing and these CTE sort of subjects, and really tie that in with computer programming. That's what we bring to the table.
And you mentioned earlier, I think middle school is your core target?
Yeah, so grades 4 through 8. And really, I think there's a big difference between, you know, so that we have competitors. So there's Lego Mindstorm, there's Vex. They're number one in the classroom right now. Mm-hmm. But you notice that they're relegated to the after-school program because they're construction kits. These kits come with 400 to 500 pieces. And if you try to bring that down into the classroom, give, you know, 400 to 500 pieces to each student, it's going to be a food fight. It's not possible. So our products bring programming front and center. You get to coding less than 5 minutes, and the parts don't get lost in the carpet. It's manageable in the classroom.
And maybe I could kind of get to the bottom line. How much money do I need to invest, and how much am I going to get back at the end of the deal?
So we're raising $1 million today, and we have a term sheet that is very, very pro investor. Like, we've worked with, we've got buy-in from the SAC Angels, Sandhill Angels, and those two groups have just completed due diligence and a term sheet. And so we're ready to rock.
And so after California, after you close this round, where's your next spot?
So it's going to be California, Texas, New York, and Florida. Those four states make up a total of a third of the U.S. population. If we kill it there, if we establish ourselves as a go-to solution for coding in the classroom in those four states, that's how we become the go-to solution for the U.S.
Katie Varr, the door. What a great story, and a great job on pitching this too, Graham. I mean, I think your product, the timing is excellent. You've got a lot of wind at your back in many respects, and You're already profitable. And so many times I get pitched stuff like this all the time. You get pitched it more than I do, Michael. But so many times people don't have a path to profitability. You are already there. You're coming in, I think, in a stronger position than a lot of people I see that are just pitching an idea. It's definitely innovative, and we wish you the best of luck. I want to thank both you guys for coming on the show today. You were phenomenal. Time kind of flew by on us. Michael, I want to thank you as well for coming on. Both great guests, and I love what both of you guys are doing for the community. Our young people need to learn the math and science in order to keep America cutting edge. And especially Sacramento's never been put in a better position than they are right now. Being so close to the Silicon Valley and San Francisco, and the stuff that you're bringing to this town, both you guys are bringing to this town, is really helping our community. I want to take a special a little time out to thank a couple sponsors, the Evans Botkin Wealth Management Team at Stifel Financial. If you got an hour of time or less, I would say think about meeting with these guys. They can definitely save you money and they can save you money in a couple of ways. One, they want to protect your assets, right? When you go in to invest money, you got to make sure that stuff's there around the corner, and these guys know how to invest your money. But the other thing that they have is they have a loan program where you can actually use your assets as collateral, and you can actually go get like a small business loan. If you're a business guy, you can go put some money, buy some stocks and borrow against it, something they do over there. And another special thanks to the guys that did the Golden One Arena, did the solar over there. They're working on a solar project for me. It's well into the six figures, couple digits in there. And it's the Sun Systems Technology guys. These guys are my buddies, and they do a heck of a job with solar. Special shout out to Hub International. Those guys always keeping the catastrophes mitigated in our business. And when we come back, let me a little tease for next week, too. Next week, we got two successful coaches, Billy Downing and Jeremiah Miller, will be sharing their story and really coaching us up on how to build businesses here in Sacramento. When we return, I will share some closing thoughts, and I'll be talking about the number one reason that startups fail, and my overarching thoughts about why none of us really need to fail. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
Coming back
to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney.
All right. We are back at Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and I am almost, without Marcus Haney today, it is just not the same. He was sick. Mito's looking at me like, hey, what am I, chopped liver? But you know what? It's got me a little discombobulated, but Mito is keeping me on track. Mito, I want to thank you for filling in and pitching in, and we've been talking about building businesses. But at the beginning of the show, you and I spent some time talking about why businesses fail. And you ever ask yourself, what if I fail? Maybe I should ask the question, what if I never fail, right? Because don't we all? I fail every day, Mito. I got up this morning and I had probably six failures by the time I got down to the office to memorize my lines today. Do you feel you ever fail?
I've never failed. But apparently my wife tells me I fail all the time.
Yes, they tend to pick out things that we need to improve on. But I think the first thing, we're all a little bit afraid of failing. And I think we're all a little bit afraid of the unknown, right? Because I think if we knew what it was going to feel like to fail, we might not be as afraid. But we're always afraid. But there's these little small mistakes that we make that I guess could be considered failures, but don't we just learn? Aren't these like course correction items for us?
Absolutely. And the key really is just to keep going. As long as you keep putting one foot after the other and moving forward, you never really fail.
Yeah.
You just move forward onto the next thing.
It's always, it's course correcting. It's one foot in front of another. Now, any takeaways or thoughts about today's show? How'd you like being on here? You learn anything from our guests?
Well, absolutely. I thought the guests were incredible. I love what AT&T is doing. The little robots, I have a passion for learning. I think it's the key. When you gain that confidence that you feel like you could learn something, that's what really kind of sets you on your path to doing the next thing in your life. So I think both of those guys are doing great things.
Agreed, agreed. Now, what's the last reason? Do we have that last reason or the number one reason, Mito, yeah. that businesses fail?
Yeah, the number one reason, and I'll say this is the one thing that I've seen in you that you are really good at, is putting together the right team. You are a master at figuring out what people are good at and putting them together.
That's the only thing I know, baby. I don't know anything about LinkBots. I do not know anything about venture capital, but I know about bringing good people together. I've always had that gift of throwing a party where people wanted to come to. So I might as well play to my strength, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's amazing how that's so key. I mean, it's the number one reason why businesses fail is I'm just lucky that I happen to be, that's the kind of my normal thing is bringing people together. I'm lucky that I'm good at the number one thing that most small business guys fail at. So
how do you put together a good team? How do you look at people and figure out what they're good at?
I always look first at myself, right? So if I'm a product guy, right? So if I'm trying to help one of these guys build a team, or I'm trying to help myself build a team, I will look at the entrepreneur, right? If the entrepreneur in this particular case is me, I will look at my strengths. What am I good at? I'm good at bringing people together. So I need somebody who's good at the product side, right? I need some smart guys around me that really understand product. I need some smart guys around me that are really good with the money side of stuff, the financial stuff. I'm 53, so I've got a little bit of understanding of how business works, and I've done some stuff, but I usually bring somebody around me who is great on those details, right? I'm great on the product details, great on the financial and accounting details, and then I am a little bit more of the person that makes the molecules move, right? I can help create excitement for whether it be a sales force or the other people that we need to bring together to get things marketed. So anyway, so I look at myself first, and then when I look at who I want to invest in, I look at rock stars, right? Because some rock star, he may be more of a product guy, and that's okay. I can build around a product guy. I am happy to build around a really smart guy. He might even be a little bit shy or introverted. That doesn't matter. If he's good enough at doing that, we can get him to raise his game and bring those right people around him, right, so that he can be successful, so he doesn't run into the pitfalls that we've been talking about all morning. So, but really, I look for people that are complementary to one another, right? So you're your product guy, your financial guy, or your sales and marketing guy, and how do you complement one another? I call that like friends with benefits, right? You need these friends in your life, but you know, they need to have some benefit to the organization and to the goal. So, you know, one guy might call, you're thinking friends with benefits is something else, huh, Mito?
Absolutely not.
Come on now, I'm not like that. But you know what? I look at things are changing so fast, right? We talked about innovation today, and you know, these guys have disruptive technologies, and this there's big need out there for the math and the science guys to come in, and so that we can continue to increase the speed of change. Because it's so much easier now to take a product and go national or to go global, and it's changing so fast. It's I call it the youthification of America. We're all becoming a little more tech savvy, and I think it's forcing us to kind of think younger. All right, Graham's 34. I don't know how old Michael is, but to me, I'm thinking this. I got to go counterclockwise. How do I become a little bit younger? I think it's happening to all of us. I mean, if you think back to like if I think to my wife, she's 51, I'm 53, and our parents, when they were our age, were a lot older than what we are, right? We're younger. We're more in touch with what's happening in society, and I think that's cool. I think that makes it fun. And I guess what I would say is, if you're out there and you've got a dream, you need to go chase that dream, right? You need to put that one foot in front of another and make that happen. And if you're working for somebody, that doesn't have that type of dream, you might not be working at the right job, right? Because not all of us are built to be entrepreneurs, but we're all built to be the best we can be. So if you're not the guy with the big dream, go be around the guy with the big dream. Go work for the guy with the big dream until you discover your gifts, until you discover what you want to be when you grow up. I'm discovering that right now. But you don't have to work for that. I call it the Stone Age boss, right? Where he's a yubba dubba doo. You ever see the Flintstones, Mito? Right? at the end of the show, Fred Flintstone's like, 5 o'clock, yubba dubba doo, and he jumps in his car, and he's getting in the car and going home and goofing around. If I want to be working for a guy that he doesn't look at the clock, he doesn't care what time it is, he's on his game 24/7. 365, let's build something. Let's help our stakeholders to achieve their dreams. I want to be around those type of people. Those are the people I surround myself with. And you know what? If you're out there listening, I think that that's the way you ought to be thinking too. Chase your dream, of course. But if you don't have it yet, go be around people that have a dream. And you know my overarching thought about failure. Failure doesn't have to happen. Failure is what happens when you quit, right? And some people never quit. Failure is what happens when you quit, and why not pivot? Why not make an adjustment? Why not have it be a learning opportunity? And Marcus isn't here today because he's sick and he's thrown up. But, you know, it makes me think about, Marcus was shot in Afghanistan. And you know, what if the Marines around him had quit, right? What if the surgeons that went in to fix his leg had quit, right? You don't quit when you're on a team that's committed to a goal, that's committed to winning. And business sometimes feels like it's a war, and it feels like, you know, if you're on the right team, it's all of you against really to achieve the mission, to help achieve what you set out to do. And you all might have your individual why, but you all work together as a team. And, you know, as we kind of, I'll call it wrap up for the day, I think about, why we say at the end of every show, we do a little toast, and it ends with always by your side. And where that originated, a lot of people don't know, but when Marcus was deploying to Afghanistan, I got up and gave a little pep talk to the Marines as they were getting ready to head off to fight. And at the end of that little pep talk, Marcus stood up with his mug, his cold beer with all the Marine buddies, and he said, "You know how we do it. Repeat after me. Never above you, never below you, and always by your side." And when we send our our listeners out to fight the good fight, to build their entrepreneurial dreams, it really makes me think about Marcus, and it makes me think about how we all need to be ready to strap it up, to do whatever it takes, and to never quit. So I want to help you guys unleash your potential. If you're like me, you're a bit of a risk taker. If the reward is right, if you're like me, you're a little bit driven to get the most out of life and make an impact on others. So come on over and see me, because if you're like me, you know what? You know that life is meant to be lived. You know that mountains are meant to be climbed. And you know that you've got the potential to get it done. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.